Veda? No. Aham? I. Ajam? The original. Purusham? Enjoyer. Avatirnam? Incarnated. Somayaya? By his own internal energy. Bhutanam? Of all the living entities. Shevadim? The bestower of all desired. Who is just like a vast treasure. Deham? The body. Bibhranam? Assuming. Kapilam? Kapila Muni. Mune? O sage Gardama. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. O Gardama, I know that the original Supreme Personality of Godhead has now appeared as an incarnation by his internal energy. He is the bestower of all desired by the living entities, and he has now assumed the body of Kapila Muni. In this verse, we find the words Purusham Avatirnam Somayaya. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is everlastingly, eternally, the form of Purusha, the predominator or enjoyer. And when he appears, he never accepts anything of this material energy. The spiritual world is a manifestation of his personal internal potency, whereas the material world is a manifestation of his material or differentiated energy. The word somayaya, by his own internal potency, indicates that whenever the Supreme Personality of Godhead descends, he comes in his own energy. He may assume the body of a human being, but that body is not material. In Bhagavad Gita, therefore, it is clearly stated that only fools and rascals, mudhas, consider the body of Krishna to be the body of a common human being. The word Shevadim means that he is the original bestower of all the necessities of life upon the living entities. In the Vedas also, it is stated that he is the chief living entity and that he bestows all the desired necessities of other living entities. Because he is the bestower of the necessities of all others, he is called God. The Supreme is also a living entity. He is not impersonal. As we are individual, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is also individual. But he is the supreme individual. That is the difference between God and the ordinary living entities. Om Gyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Lord Brahma is speaking to Kardama Muni here, and he's telling him, I know what's happening. I have understanding of what's happening. Vedaham ajam purusham. I know that the original enjoyer has appeared in this world. This is the authoritativeness of Lord Brahma, who is known as Adi Kavi, the original scholar of the universe. Krishna consciousness is based on the most authorized knowledge. That means we take our information from the most authorized persons. And Lord Brahma is the head of the authorized persons in the parampara. He's presenting that he knows what's going on. We should be secure in that. We should be confident that Lord Brahma is aware, and he's telling Kardama Muni that the Lord not only has appeared, but avatirnam somayaya, he's come his own way. He's come by his own internal energy. In other words, he's not forced to appear. He doesn't come the way of the external energy. This is very important to understand. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada the Shastra repeats this point again and again. The Lord comes his own way. That should get us to think, how did I come to this material world? In my material life, according to my material desires, I'm anxious to do everything my way for me. People are glorified if they can apparently do things their way, if they can apparently make big progress in pleasing their own mind and senses. They're thought of very highly by society today. Take your birth into consideration. Think about your birth. Was it your way? No, our births were forced upon us. We were forced into a particular womb, forced to take birth in a particular family. Yet, as soon as we appear from the womb, we proceed to try and be independent and do everything our way and think we're going to be happy in that way. All we have to do is meditate on the significance of how we appeared in this world. What was the mechanism for our appearance in this world? And how did Krishna appear? How does Krishna appear in this world? Then we get a clear idea of who is the enjoyer. Lord Brahma is saying, Ajam Purusham, the original Purusha, the real enjoyer, has come. How do you know that Krishna is the real enjoyer? Because he comes not forced by the material energy. The great bewilderment is that although we are forced to appear in this world and forced to take a material body, we are convinced we are the enjoyers, without a doubt. And if there's been a problem, it means we've just got to make some adjustment. We've just got to alter our style. We are convinced that we are enjoyers, and therefore, because of that false pretense, that false understanding, we have to take birth again and again by force. Therefore, it's very liberating to understand how Krishna comes to this world. That's why Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Janma Karma Chame Divyam Evam Yoveti Tatvataha. If you can know in truth, just as Lord Brahma is saying, Vedaham Ajam Purusham, I know in truth that the original enjoyer has appeared, Avatirnam Samaya, by his own way, his internal energy. If we can know in truth how Krishna appears in this world, Janma. If we can know in truth how Krishna performs his activities, his karma, without force, then the assurance by Lord Krishna himself is, upon giving up the present material body, you will not take another body. This is Krishna's big payoff that he's wanting to give to everyone to assist us in receiving that greatest benefit from Lord Krishna. Brahma is offering clarification. He's giving us knowledge. Kapila Dev has appeared from Devahuti and Kardama Muni, and he's come his own way. Later, actually in the next chapter of this canto, the first verse, you'll find Kapilas Tattva Sankhyata Bhagavan Atma Maya. The same thing. Swamaya Atma Maya. Lord Kapila has come his own way. And what is his business? Kapilas Tattva Sankhyata. His business is to expound transcendental knowledge. In this chapter we're studying today, Brahma explains that Kapila will uproot the deep desire for karmic activity in this world. That will be his mission. And more personally, more particularly, Kapila Muni will cut the knot of his mother, Devahuti's attachment to this world. Because remember, she begged her husband, Kardama Muni, you're going off to the forest now, but I'm still attached to material life. So what did she beg him for? Since I'm still attached to material life, don't go? She didn't say that. Since I'm still attached to material life, then give me material things so I can just go on with my attachment? No, she did not say that. She said, understand that I was attached to you in love as my husband, and I didn't fully appreciate your ability to free me from material existence. Now you're going. That's all right. But please make some arrangement so that I can make spiritual advancement in your absence. This is Krishna consciousness. She admitted her position. What can I do? I'm attached to you. But I didn't realize that besides being a wonderful husband, you were also empowered transcendentalist. I didn't take advantage of that. Now I'm lamenting, not so much that you're going, but I'm lamenting that I didn't take advantage of your presence to be Krishna conscious. This is Devahuti showing the symptoms of the ideal wife. She's admitting, yes, I have my attachment for hearth and home. Naturally, I was attached to my husband. But most importantly, I want from him the seed of transcendental knowledge. So, when Kardama Muni told her, okay, I've done my duty, I'm going. You have 9 beautiful daughters. She externally smiled, but internally she was very sad and scratching the ground with her toenails, indicating not everything has been done. So you would think, well, she doesn't want her husband to go. I mean, just think about the mystic power of Kardama Muni. He made a great spaceship and they toured the whole universe to all the heavenly spots of paradise. They were enjoying. Of course she doesn't want him to go. He should understand that. And why should he leave her? She's such a beautiful wife. The daughter of Swayambhuva Manu. Why break this thing up? Let it go on. But Kardama Muni, he understands what his mission in life is. Although he had such a beautiful wife, a princess, he understood, my purpose in life is to go back to Godhead. Therefore, he did his varnashram duty very quickly. Quickly, he produced 9 offspring. Okay, there it is. 9 daughters are there. I've done my job. It's time for me to move on. But Devahuti, she's thinking, my Krishna consciousness, what about it? Suddenly I realized that although I loved him so much, I didn't take advantage of his spiritual potency. So she begged Kardama Muni not to stay, but make some arrangement for her Krishna consciousness. And the arrangement, of course, is Lord Kapila Dev. The best arrangement. Devahuti would give birth to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose mission would be to expound transcendental knowledge throughout the world, and particularly to cut Devahuti's knot of attachment. The kind of knowledge that Lord Kapila Dev taught, and that allows one to analyze material nature, understand the nature of the illusion, and then to free yourself. It is analytical knowledge of the material world so that you can find Vishnu at the root. Now, it's interesting that we're discussing Lord Kapila Dev and his Sankhya knowledge on the disappearance day of Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, who was known to be completely illiterate. The salient point that Srila Prabhupada always brought out about Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, there's so many stories we can tell, of course, but a very important point to understand is that he was illiterate, yet the most powerful Vaishnav scholar, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, took shelter of him. This is something to make us think. What is going on with bhakti? Is bhakti simply the product of our material knowledge? Is it that the more we study in a scholastic type of way, the more we'll be qualified in bhakti? Just to confound that conception, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, who indeed was the most learned scholar, he took shelter of Gaurakishore Das Babaji, because Gaur Kishore Das Babaji was qualified. And Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur endeavored with great determination to take shelter of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji's lotus feet, even though Babaji Maharaj is illiterate. Showing you that understanding Krishna depends on devotion. The greatest scholar is the greatest bhakta, the greatest devotee. That is why Krishna says clearly in Bhagavad Gita, bhakjamam abhijanati, only by devotional service can I be understood. Now we have to decide, do we want to understand Krishna? The whole point of all these activities, the whole point of this community, the schedule, all the activities, everything is meant to enable us to understand Krishna. That should be our goal. Otherwise, what is the point? When we understand the goal that I want to become aware of Krishna, I want to understand Krishna in truth, then everything becomes clear why we are going through all these austerities and why we are having the association of Vaishnavas, all to help us understand Krishna. And that understanding of Krishna does not depend on our material intellect. Otherwise, the professors in the university, they would know everything about Krishna. They would be the best devotees. But what do we see? We see the opposite. They know the least about Krishna. Without devotion, you get bewildered by any little thing that Krishna does. Just like in the Kartik month, who but a devotee can appreciate the significance of Mother Yashoda binding Lord Krishna? Krishna is demonstrating. We spoke this the other day. He's making a demonstration. I'm going to show you something the mystic yogis can't get, the gyanis can't get, the heavenly planets, fruitive workers can't get. I'm going to demonstrate something that only my intimate devotees can have. Krishna wants to show that. Krishna makes these examples so that we understand the super excellence of bhakti. Even in the person of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, who was illiterate, yet he could speak on Bhagavatam so astoundingly that people were mesmerized hearing him deliver his presentations of Hari Katha. They would try to find him wherever he was. Sometimes he would hide under an overturned rowboat and chant his japa, so no one would find him. Or he would chant his japa next to a latrine, just so people would not be attracted to bother him. Yet he was always fixed in the deep separation from Krishna, and his standard of spiritual knowledge was so great that the greatest scholar, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, pursued him for initiation. These things cause us to wonder, what is it that I need to develop in Krishna consciousness? How am I going to become more aware of Krishna? What are the things I need to do so that Krishna will become more known to me? That is how a devotee thinks. Now, what about this swamaya, Krishna's appearance, his own way? Although this is the material world, when Krishna comes, he has nothing to do with matter. He's able to appear in this world in his spiritual glory 100%, not one slight bit of material contamination. We're meant to think about that and try to understand the significance. Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita, Ajopi san avyayatma, bhutanam ishvaro prisan, prakatim swam adhisthaya, sambhavami atma maya. Once again, atma maya, swamaya, the same thing. I come my own way. So Krishna is explaining himself. He's teaching you, just as Brahma is teaching. Krishna is teaching. He's speaking about himself. Three things the Lord is saying. Kindly take this into account if you want to understand me. Number one, I am Aja. I am unborn. Ajopisan Avyatma. Number two, I have a transcendental body that never deteriorates. Avya. No diminishing, no reducing in potency, ever. And number three, Bhutanam Ishvaropisan. I am the Lord of all living entities. Yet, what happens? Prakatam Swamajishtaya Sambhavami Atmamaya. I still come to this world. Even though these three things are true about me. I'm unborn. I have a transcendental body that never deteriorates. I'm the Lord of all living entities. I still come. Krishna is saying, don't shut me out of this world just because I'm all spiritual. Sometimes we unconsciously feel that way. Well, here in the material world, the real world of practicality, we've got to kind of, you know, size things up our way. Krishna, he's good for the spiritual world. All glories to him. Sometimes people these days even say that about the acharyas. Prabhupada, a pure lover of Krishna. But when it comes to dealing with the world, well, that's our thing. We have to, you know, consult our own intelligence. Srila Gaurakishordas Babaji, oh, extraordinary renunciate, all glories. Krishna Prema, pure love of Krishna. But when it comes to living our life, well, you know, we're going to have to sort that one out ourselves because this is the material world. And obviously we know about the material world the best because we're conditioned souls. Krishna, he's pure spirit. Prabhupada, Gaurakishordas Babaji, they're way far above us, far beyond us. So how can they really relate to us? We've got to sort ourselves out our way. And then maybe the good Lord will smile upon us, knowing that we know best. And after a while, we'll figure out a way to be Krishna conscious somehow or other on our own. Now, Krishna is kind of, he's elbowing his way into our understanding. Look, it's true, these things about me. I'm unborn. I have a transcendental body that never deteriorates. I'm the Lord of all living entities, but I'm still here, and I'm going to teach you. I'm right in your world. In fact, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is teaching in the middle of two armies on a battlefield, giving you a powerful demonstration. Don't try to push me out of the material world just because I'm purely spiritual. Here I am on Arjuna's chariot. I'm driving his chariot in a war. What can be more practical than that? So how are you going to push me out of the world? I'm telling Arjuna what to do. Both ways, his varnashram dharma duty and his duty as a pure devotee. I'm giving him instruction. I am here. This is what I'm doing. And Lord Brahma, he's also confirming Vedaham Ajam Purusham. He's here, the original enjoyer. Not the fake enjoyers, we conditioned souls. No, I'm talking about the original enjoyer, the only one who can actually enjoy. What does it mean, Purusha and Prakriti? The predominator and the predominated. Prabhupada once cautioned, everyone, as soon as they hear Purusha, Prakriti, predominated and the predominator, they immediately think of sex. It's not like that. You should immediately think, when you hear Purusha and Prakriti, you should think, one person gives the orders and everyone else follows. That is Purusha and Prakriti, predominator and predominated. But generally, persons think, oh, the predominator, Krishna, the predominated, the living entities, and so that refers to some kind of sex example. Better we think, one person gives the orders, everyone else follows. That's what Arjuna demonstrated in Bhagavad Gita. Sarvam etad vritam manye. Krishna, I totally accept everything you say. That is the position of an ideal devotee of the Lord. To help us accept everything that Krishna says, Krishna comes himself. He sends his representatives to show us what is the standard of bhakti, to give us explanations of how the spiritual energy works. Lord Kapiladev, is going to give teachings that if anyone takes them seriously, the knot of their attachment to the material world will be cut. But how many people want their knot cut? Most people want more knots, more complications. They don't understand that the enjoying propensity is what's getting them into so much trouble. But it is the serving propensity, when applied to Krishna, that will give them all the happiness and pleasure they want. This is hard for us to understand. How am I going to be happy as a servant? You can just imagine. If you talk to your material relations or your old friends and they ask you, what are you doing now? And you say, well, I'm training to be a servant. How useless. You've embarrassed the family. Why don't you be a lawyer, a doctor, this or that? But you are training to be a servant. Of course, we know that to be a servant of Krishna is the highest position. Therefore, Krishna himself wants to taste that position. And he comes as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What's it like to be a servant? I want to be a servant of the Supreme Lord and taste what the bhaktas are tasting. But the foolish conditioned souls, they're averse to serving the Supreme Lord. And in their attempts to master material nature, they have to serve Maya, which is such an excruciatingly painful position. And they're convinced about it. All intelligence is applied how to serve the material energy while thinking you're master at the same time. You know, we have these fires in the area. And there's one community nearby which the people felt completely assured and confident that the fires will not get us. They had a recently designed development, and the houses were structured a certain way, flame retardant paint. All the eaves around the roof were sealed so no sparks could get under and light up the attic. The streets were big and wide so the fire trucks would have easy access and the people could escape if necessary. The windows are double glazed and heat resistant so the nearby flames wouldn't pop the glass so the sparks could jump into the house. Everything was taken into account. So the people felt very secure. So much so that they could look out their windows and see the hills a few hundred yards away from them in flames, but they were just going around with security, even playing badminton in their backyard while the flames are covering the hills. Why? That we know that our place will be safe because we took all these precautions. This is the kind of conviction we want in hearing from Krishna. Although we're within this material world, we want the security that hearing from Krishna and following Krishna's instructions gives us that safety. Actually, the firemen were saying about this new development, which was fireproof. They said, actually, all these precautions they've taken increase their chances of not being burned down by 25%. If the fire comes, they got a 25% more chance to avoid getting burned down. In fact, in all those areas, these new developments, in order for people to move there, they had to sign an agreement with the developer that, I know this is an area of high danger. They had to sign a release. Still, they want to live there, and they feel so safe. We've got all the precautions taken care of. Nothing can bother us. So, the flames were all around on the hills. They could see it. The fire is a few hundred yards from their development. But they're in the backyard playing badminton, sitting down. We're safe. Nothing can bother us. They're completely convinced. Now, we want that kind of conviction in Krishna. You can see such conviction does exist. Why put it in the material energy? But by attempting to lord it over the material energy, we're forced to have that kind of misplaced faith. So even the firemen were saying, all right, they got all the advantages. Great, it's just increased their chances of survival by 25%. This fire is so out of hand, we don't know which way it's going to go. We can be saved by luck, basically, by a change in weather. That's the nature of life in this material world. Still, people are looking for security. Our security is understanding Krishna and hearing about Krishna. There are fires sometimes in Vrindavan. You can read in Krishna Leela what happened after the Kaliya Naga incident. When Kaliya surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the wives, the Nagaputnis, they had begged Krishna, be merciful upon our husband. The Leela came to a close, and Lord Krishna emerged from the Kaliya Lake, which was completely polluted, but Krishna emerges from the lake covered with jewels, gold, astounding fragrances, flower garlands. That's how Krishna walks out of the Kaliya Lake, which was so polluted that birds would die if they flew over it. Even the demigods were afraid to cross over the Kaliya Lake. But Krishna defeats Kaliya and comes out of this maximum polluted lake wearing exquisite jewels and gold, flower garlands, decorated with exquisite scents. So he comes out on the shore, and all the cowherd boys see him. Oh, Krishna, he's safe. They had collapsed on the ground, unconscious before, thinking Krishna was in danger. But when they saw Krishna come out of the grip of the Kaliya serpent, and Krishna come out of the Kaliya lake, the cowherd boys came back to life almost, like their consciousness returned. Immediately, Balaram goes up and embraces Krishna, laughing, and sits Krishna on his lap and stares at Krishna repeatedly, laughing. I know your potency. It doesn't surprise me, but this is really amazing. And then Mother Yashoda takes Krishna and puts him on her lap, and she's crying incessantly. So happy that Krishna is safe. And Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherd men are looking on. Then the brahmanas of the village come up to Nanda Maharaj. Your son has been saved by the Supreme Lord Narayan. Better give some charity to the brahmanas. Give a donation. So Nanda Maharaj says, sure, he gives gold, he gives cows. Meanwhile, surrounding the people of Vrindavan, the cows, the bulls, and the calves, they're all enlivened and watching there. Krishna has come out of the lake. It's such a dramatic situation that the residents of Vrindavan didn't want to go home. Number one, they were weak and tired. But number two, they couldn't tear themselves away from Krishna right then and there. They were so emotionally bound. This is the level of absorption we want our service to have. And it is possible in bhakti yoga. It is possible through the system that Srila Prabhupada has given us. In parampara, from Srila Gaurakishoredas Babaji Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. This kind of absorption is possible. We cannot have the position of Mother Yasoda or Nanda Maharaj. That's eternally filled. But we can get the same taste. So, the residents of Vrindavan didn't want to leave. They just stayed there on the bank of the Kaliya Lake and spent the night. They and Krishna, everyone, just went to sleep where they were. Meanwhile, at night, a forest fire came. And it looked like everyone was in danger. So naturally, the residents of Vrindavan, they turned to their fire department. They turned to Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhaga, Hey Ramanita Vikrama. Krishna, Krishna, the most opulent one. Balaram, you are the source of all potency. Please save us from this forest fire. Why do we want to be saved from the forest fire? Because if we die, we won't be able to serve your lotus feet. Our devotional service will be disrupted. Therefore, save us from the forest fire. That's all they're thinking about, their service to Krishna. It could be death will separate us from your lotus feet. No more service. Please, stop the fire. So Krishna, hearing the plea of the residents of Vrindavan, he swallowed the forest fire. That's the fire department in Braj. Then there's another time with the cowherd boys in the Munjaranya forest. the Lord and the cowherd boys were playing in the forest, and they got so absorbed in playing, they didn't look where the calves were going. So the cows and calves went into a deep section of the forest, to the Munjaranya. And then a fierce forest fire broke out. So when Krishna and the cowherd boys started looking, where are our cows? They couldn't see them. They had to follow a trail left by the calves through the forest. And they got to their calves and cows and saw them about to be enveloped by a forest fire. So they quickly herded them away from the fire. As they were moving away from the fire, the cows were thirsty from the heat. The cowherd boys were full of fatigue and thirsty. But Krishna calls out the names of each cow, and the cows just moo back in love and affection. Pure love and affection. Krishna is calling us by name. As they were going back to Vrindavan, however, the forest fire jumped them on all sides, spread by the wind. And it looked very bleak. Once again, the cowherd boys, the Brijvasis, turned to the fire department. Krishna, Krishna, Mahavira. Hey, Rama, Moga, Vikrama. Krishna, Krishna, you're the most potent one. Hey, Balaram, you are the one whose potency is never thwarted. Please do something about this forest fire. How did Krishna stop that fire? He said, all right, just close your eyes. So, cowherd boys all closed their eyes. What kind of solution is that to a huge blaze on all sides? Close your eyes. Would you have done it? Just think. Would you have listened to Krishna? Flames all around you. And Krishna says, just close your eyes. What would you say? Oh, I don't know about this one. Wait a minute, we're in the real world here. No, the cowherd boys immediately closed their eyes. And then Krishna swallowed up the fire. Not only did he swallow up the fire, but he transported all the cows, calves, and cowherd boys back to their original playing place near a tree in Bandirava. So then they all went back to Vrindavan, Krishna playing a special melody on his flute. What was his mission now? He had already saved the cowherd boys from the flames of the forest fire. Now he was going to save the girls of Vrindavan from the flames of separation. This is the real fire department. All kinds of flames Krishna can deal with. He can deal with the fire in the Munjaranya forest, and he can deal with Prem Agni, the fire of separation in love of Krishna. So this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who comes to this world his own way, is never affected by Maya, and he displays his pastimes so that we'll be attracted and we'll agree to render transcendental loving service to the Lord. Any questions? All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj Ki.